In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and information, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence and a better understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. Happy Chinese New Year. You know, I keep saying I'm excited about this show, but I am excited about the show. This is the Chinese New Year, like today, like right now, as we're doing the show. It is the Year of the Dragon, the most powerful zodiac. Anyway, it's a very powerful thing. Very powerful animal, and the most powerful of the Chinese horoscopal. It also is a new moon, which means to those who believe it, it's the time you draw things to yourself that you want this very night. So, and tonight we have Mike Marino with us. He's not only a friend, but a funny guy who's done a lot of things. I know him, and I'm always impressed with the things that I learn more about that he does. And then tonight I was reading his bio again. I thought, wow, he did that too. I saw that. Oh, that's right. He was in that. And that's exciting. And we also have Mark Leger with us today as our producer, of course, who will be doing our producer's wrap at the end of the show. So, now can you see why I'm so excited about the show? And tonight is really special. Actually, for those of you who have been following and who heard last week's show, I said that I was going to New York to win a contest and a song contest. And I'd love to talk about that experience. Something happened while I was in New York that kind of is like what we started to talk about last week when we were talking about what would Filippo say. All right, well, what would Filippo say? I mean, it was a really good question that came to my mind, and I kind of saw myself in the third person as I was with some people in New York that I hadn't been with in a long time, and they live so differently from the way I live in California with my friends and family and the way we talk and the way we think and the way we treat each other. And they're beautiful people and I love them. And so much of what they do is so cool. And I want to do like them. And some things I can't believe that people are still doing, or that I used to do, and some things I still do. And so a situation happened that made me think, what would Filippo say? What could Filippo say? What could I say in this moment to try and make this really awkward, really uncomfortable, and really hurtful situation better? And I was stumped for a while. And then I ended up saying something about an hour later. But this is the situation, and I'm sure this has happened in your family. It certainly has happened in mine. But I had the pleasure of being in New York this weekend for the very first snowfall of the year. As a matter of fact, the very first snowfall of the whole freaking season. There was a snow flurry in New York in October, which was a fluke, and that's it. No snow, which is news in itself, and it's a cause enough for worry. But regardless of that, thankfully, the night I arrived, I was already there, landed safe, and then in the middle of the night, there was snow. And I actually was still awake in the middle of the night and looked out the window and watched it snow and thought, wow, that's really cool. And then in the morning when there were a few inches of snow on the ground, I thought, oh, wow, how are we going to get out of the driveway and get to the competition and all of that? So, you know, reality kind of set in. But anyway, the next day, I ended up spending some time with some family that I haven't seen in a while. And I'm sitting next to a distant relative who is older and whose health is failing, who can't even hardly hear with a hearing aid on. And it was kind of sad to see him that way. And the next thing I know, this beautiful young lady who is a distant cousin, who's adorable and sweet and loving and all that, and a bright 24-year-old comes in the house and starts screaming at the top of her lungs. Did you touch my core? Did you touch my core? Huh? Did you touch my core? How many times do I have to tell you, don't touch my core? Don't touch my core. How hard is it not to touch my core? I don't understand. I tell you not to touch my core. And my accent isn't as great as hers was. I loved it. If he wasn't in such a bad condition, I would have laughed because it was so funny. And she was so adamant about this. And I watched her and I turned away because I was uncomfortable, frankly, as she did this in front of somebody she hasn't seen in years. And she said, basically, I don't understand how hard it is not to touch my car when I ask you not to touch my car. That's all. And he said, all I did was brush the top layer of snow off your windshield because it was ice and it would have been harder for you to get it off. And she said, I don't care. I tell you not to touch my car. What do I have to do to not have you do it? So I got up when she left and walked out of the room. And her mom followed me. And so her mom said to me, she's a great kid, but every once in a while she goes into that and you can't stop her. And on the one hand, I wanted to say, you know what? It's not that hard. Just don't touch her car. Whatever the deal is, don't touch it. And so I said, what is the deal with her car? And her mom said, well, it's a $45,000 car. She bought it on her own and it's brand new and she's paying for it herself. Of course, she's paying for it herself because she gets to live at home. And her parents are paying for everything else, but okay, still. And I said, so why does he touch it? And she says, you know, he's trying to help. And then I thought of something. I thought, how hard is it? It's a good question. How hard is it not to touch my car? And I thought about this, you know, this is her father, who obviously is failing very quickly in health, and who might be looking at his mortality, and who might be thinking he might not be around for very long. And he might be thinking that this little girl that he used to hold in his arms and that he used to do everything for no longer needs her, no longer needs him, and that there's nothing he can do for her anymore, especially with his failing age and health. And so how hard is it for him not to touch her car? Probably pretty hard, because he probably still has that desire to do something for his little girl. Or he might look at his girl all grown up and he might think, wow, I didn't do enough for her. I never was around for her. I always worked while she was growing up. I never held her. And now she doesn't need me and I don't have a relationship with her. The least I could do is brush off this snow off of her car. Now, with her youth and vitality and beauty and the money that she's making now, she might not understand that. But it's a good question. How hard is it not to touch my car? It actually might be pretty hard. So then I thought about him and I thought, you know, he comes from another world. He came from Italy. He never had stuff like that. And he never had an understanding of having your own thing. They shared everything they ever had and they didn't have much. And so now somebody in the family has a nice car. You kind of all chip in to keep it nice. And so he might never understand why she doesn't want him to touch her car and why it's just her car. So to her credit, she says he's rough with the cars and she sees what he does on the other cars. And yeah, you wouldn't want a chance scratching it. But what would Filippo say? You know, actually, I thought what she could have done is it wouldn't have been interesting if she walked in and said, "Hey, Dad, I really appreciate you trying to help. But really, I want to do it myself. And I love you and I thank you. And if you ever do it again, you won't have to wait to die. I'll just kill you right now." No, I mean, but to say all of that at the beginning, and then have him still argue back maybe, but just, you know, just say, "Thanks for not doing it again." And then catch him not doing it someday and say, "Thanks for not having done it. I really liked doing it myself," or something like that. I'm going to be thinking more about this, and I hope you will too, actually, because though in that part of the world and in that culture, the Italian Americans in New York, and they do think differently, but some of the ways they think doesn't necessarily make for a better life for themselves. I'm not saying they need to think like us Californians or like us New Age, quote unquote, thinkers or whatever you want to call us. I'm just saying that there's a more elegant way of thinking, a more elegant way of being that would really actually make their lives that much simpler, snow notwithstanding. So with that, we're going to talk to a man who's Italian-American and from that part of the country and somehow has taken all that and made it really funny. Right after this, we'll be back with Mike Marino.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook, and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. Did you touch my core? Did you touch my core? I know what Filippo would say now. I want to know what Mike would say. I think Mike would say, "Vinny, get the bat." Our guest today is Mike Marino. That's who I'm talking about. You know, he has done so much, and I want to tell you so much about what he's done. Let me just start a little bit about what I've got here for him. He's affectionately known to thousands of his fans. Actually, it's more like millions now, especially after the YouTube hits that he's gotten on some of his clips. But anyways, he's affectionately known as New Jersey's Bad Boy. And he's one of the most unique comics of our time, and he is. He has played in every major comedy club from New York to Los Angeles, including the MGM Grand, Catch a Rising Star, the Comic Strip, Stand Up New York, the Improv, Rascals, the Ice House, on and on and on and on and on. He has worked with some of the biggest names in Hollywood and headlined at both the world-famous Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store in Hollywood. He has been on TV. This always cracks me up because I forget he's done As the World Turns, One Life to Live, Becker, Nikki, Frasier, Party of Five, and on and on. And then he's been in the movies. He's got several film credits, including Crooks, Pizza with Bullets, Hanging in Hedo, and Stephen King's Lucky Quarter. On TV, he's also had guest appearances regularly on The Tonight Show as a regular sketch player. I'm sure you remember him from that. Also, The Martin Short Show, Comics Unleashed, The Boomer Show, Wild Pitch, Handheld Comedy Radio. Again, on and on and on and on. So, and then he headlines Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, the famous Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal, Canada, every year, and has headlined several USO comedy tours. I know that's not enough because there's so much more, but I can't wait to bring him on. Mike Marino, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm great. It's great to have you on. And you were just in L.A. on Friday. You were in Florida performing this weekend, and now you're in New Jersey, is it?
New Jersey. Yeah.
Jeez.
I actually was doing a show in California, then I had an event to do in Florida. Then I figured I'd pop into New Jersey and see my mom and dad.
And see the snow.
Yeah. Actually, I came just in time to see the snow. I went from 80 degrees in beautiful Coral Springs, Florida, and it's 3 inches on the ground here in New Jersey.
Right. Did you touch my car? Do you know anybody like that?
No, yeah, but when you were saying it, I'm saying to myself, okay, he's got the accent down pretty good, but it sounds a little bit more like Staten Island, New York, than New Jersey.
Okay.
In New Jersey, it would be a little bit more like, get off my car.
Oh, get off my car. I like that.
Either that or it would be like, what are you, crazy?
And what would Mike say?
I would say, Vinny, get the bat.
Yeah, right. I love that line. You know, I'm Italian American, but here on the West Coast, we don't talk like that, and we're not as passionate, and that's either good or bad. It just is. You come from that, and you made it funny. Let's talk about a little bit about where you come from.
Right. Well, I was born in Jersey City, New Jersey, which is a tough neighborhood, but for the longest period of time, most Italian immigrants were living there, and the whole neighborhood was Italian. There was the only battle they ever had was, did they call it gravy or sauce? But it was just tons and tons of Italians. Then they started to spread out and moved out to the suburbs. Now, the suburbs where I grew up was a town called Scotch Plains. And once again, huge Italian community. I mean, if you walked out your door and you said, hey, Italian guy, everybody would come out. And we even lived around the corner from a street that was actually called Cook Avenue. And I don't know if they named it because everybody was cooking or that was just the name of the street.
Okay, so you grew up around some Italians. And was there any passion in the neighborhood, in the family?
Are you kidding me? Everybody's so passionate about, let's say, what they say, what they do for a living, what they cook, or who they're involved with, that if you didn't see things their way, you probably weren't going to get in a fight.
Or what they don't do, or what they're...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was about to say, or what they don't do, or what they're not even involved in, and what doesn't even pertain to them, right?
That's right. They could be passionate about taking out the garbage.
So
and you can
what
take that
say?
Any which way you want.
All right, so what... How did that have an effect on you?
Well, naturally, in stand-up comedy, the truth is the funniest. And whatever you talk about when it comes to about your family, you're going to make people laugh because they're going to identify with what you're talking about. Doesn't have to be Italian, as long as it has something to do with real-life experiences. But because the Italian people are so passionate, if I was just to say, yeah, I grew up in an Italian family, we always ate in the basement, most people are going to crack up laughing because they're going to say, yeah, so did we.
Yeah. All right. So you of course, were not witness to anybody fighting or anybody arguing or anybody having a little hard time.
Well, as an Italian guy, I can't say the word witness or that I saw anything. Usually I don't know anything.
Okay.
But if I had to tell you the truth, then yes. I think we have fights just about every day. My mother's 83 years old now, and I think we fought this afternoon.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's
pretty
funny.
All we fought about was she wanted me to have lunch, and I'm trying to tell her I just got in from California. I'm fasting.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I'm fasting.
Well, quite honestly, tomorrow morning I'm going to get a colonoscopy, so I had to fast for 24 hours.
Are you serious?
That might be funny. It might not be funny, but I really have to do this.
Well, I can't believe you went for the butt joke.
Well, it's not even a butt joke. This is serious. I got better jokes than that. But the bottom line is, try fasting in an Italian family.
All right, so I could see an argument happening there. So I once knew a comedian who said to me, Filippo, we laugh so we don't cry. And you and I have talked about that before. Could you shed some light on that from a comedian's standpoint?
Well, yeah, you know, comedians are inspirational people, and we can be uplifting. Here's something that's happened to me. Recently, a guy wrote a book called Life Inside the Spaghetti Bowl. And he contacted me on the internet, and he said that he was a big fan, and that he said my comedy got him through the loss of his mother.
Mm.
And that him and his mom would watch my DVDs, and that they all would get a laugh, but they knew that she was going to be passing away because she had cancer. Mm. But they were dealing with it through laughter and getting over it by watching my work. Well, I do that whole big joke about the Last Supper and how my mother's not going to cook anymore.
I love that one.
Well, the guy identified with that joke so well that he actually quoted me word for word in his book. And it actually says, in the eyes of the comedian Mike Marino, the Last Supper would never really take place because your mother would complain, but she would definitely cook no matter what.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's interesting because you take some of the things that people wouldn't joke about, and especially Italian people, and you joke about them. And it's so interesting to be in an Italian audience and watch people laugh and identify and say, that's me. I do that. So you're right. It can be very healing.
Right, and they also will turn to their friends that they're with at a comedy show, and they'll point and say, oh, yeah, your mother does that. Oh, your brother acts like that. Oh, that's right, when we went to the gym, I acted like that. And when you hit a nerve like that and you make the people identify with what you're saying, that's usually when you get the biggest laugh.
Right, right. And you know, and you brought up a really good point. I remember doing the first time this happened to me, I remember doing an Italian audience, and you and I have done shows together, and I know people have come up and said stuff to you as well about this particular thing. Like, that happened in my family, and these people are not Italian, and you know, they're either Hispanic or they're Chinese. And the first time that happened, I said, are you Italian? And I was joking, but they said, no, it's the same thing. It's same thing. In other words, if it happens in a family, it happens in a lot of families.
That's right. It doesn't matter whether you're from an Italian family or you're from an Asian family. Everybody has family members that act certain ways that remind you of your own.
And so obviously you draw from your heritage. Is that mainly where you draw a lot of your comedy?
Sure. A lot of people ask me, you know, because I do that thing with putting out a cigarette and acting like a wise guy. So they'll say, do you really smoke cigarettes, or were you a smoker at one time? And I said, actually, I never smoked. I'm imitating my father.
Mm.
My father was the type of guy who couldn't make a point unless he took a big drag of a cigarette and then put it out with his foot, and then he would start talking.
Okay, you know? And hold on. If people want to see what Mike's talking about right now, you can go to where millions of others, or at least a million and something, others have seen him do this on YouTube. Mike, we'll have to put the link up on our website, so that people could go to that YouTube clip about you and Osama bin Laden, or not you and Osama.
Hey, that would
bin Laden.
Be great. You could watch it on my website, which is mikemarino.net, or
that's
you can
right.
watch it on YouTube.
That's right. That's right. Actually, you can go straight to mikemarino.net, and that's marino.net. So, well, there again, you know, a lot of people, I know some people have said to you, kind of tongue-in-cheek, how come you make fun of the Italians? And your answer is, I really like. Do you remember what you said to me one time about this?
I believe I might have said, I'm not really making fun of Italians. And if you consider me making fun of Italians, well, then I'll take the word Italian out and say my family.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly
what you said. My family does act like that, so there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, That's exactly what you said. And all of a sudden, when we were having that conversation and you said that, and when you shared it with other people, it's kind of like, no, we want you to keep Italian in there.
Of course, yeah. Because then they feel like they're leaving them out.
It's really
funny. I did a big concert once, and we were doing a fundraiser for an Italian organization. And they raised about $100,000. And the guy came over to me and he said, you know, I think what you're saying about the Italian people might be a little disrespectful. And I said, then give me back the money. And he goes, nah, you can keep doing what you're doing.
Well, and then the other thing along the same lines is that, you know, some of the stuff that you do, you know, like we all disagree with. But the thing is that you disagree with it too, in the sense that one of the bits that I love the most that you do is the one about hitting your kids. Now, I was hit as a kid, and I don't think kids should be hit. I know you don't think kids should be hit, and I hope most people, if not all people, think kids should not be hit. But it's just funny to me, and in a way healing. It's just funny to think that somebody would say that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we were spanked as kids. I mean, my mother did all the spanking because my father would kill us. He was such a big guy. But my mother was tough, too. And I think, you know, there is a saying, spare the rod, spoil the child. And I believe that. And kids today get away with anything. You go to hit your kid today, they'll just call child care services.
Right. Well, okay. So I still think it's funny, though. I don't think we should hit our kids. But and that's the interesting thing is that I think how something is said, or I think you know, we could laugh at stuff, and it's healing. It heals me in a sense, and it's funny to me, and I enjoy the fact that someone's talking about hitting your kids. When I was hitting it, I didn't like it, and it hurt. But it's like, you know, yeah, that's funny. And all of a sudden it just kind of takes away from, you know, what was going on with me as a child. Does it do that for you, come to think of it?
Absolutely. In fact, here's something you need to hear. The guy who owns the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, California, is trying to change the name from Comedians to Doctors of the Soul.
Wow.
He says that comedians have the power to heal through their comedy. So in essence, we're doctors because we can make you forget about your ailment at least for a little while. So there you go. I am now Dr. Marino. I am a doctor of the soul. I've been practicing for 18 years.
We might have to have him on the show, and I agree. And you know back to our heritage, but growing up, the Italians, I've shared this on the show before, so real briefly, had used to call the musician, like long time ago, used to call a musician when they were sick, because the music would heal them and the musician would play just for the person. And so in a very similar way, laughter, hello, is the best medicine. That saying doesn't just come out of thin air.
You know, I was doing a show last night in Florida. It was about 600 people. The average age for this particular community was about 75 years old. And all the people would come up to me after the show and say, we made them feel fantastic, at least for an hour. You know, people were forgetting about their ailments. They were forgetting about the pills that they needed to take when they got home. And they just enjoyed the night.
Yeah, yeah. I you know what? I think we're going to have to do more of this on our show, because I couldn't agree more. I like it a lot, and I'm glad you're setting the stage here for more of this. We're talking to Mike Marino. He's a comedian, funny guy. You can learn more about him by going to mikemarino.net. As a matter of fact, there you can also get one of two or both of his DVDs. One is Live from Los Angeles, the other Live from Asbury Park. You can get both DVDs there. He's working on a new one that hopefully we'll talk about in a little bit here when we come back. He's got tour dates all over the country. Chances are he'll be at a city near you, because this guy works a lot. So chances are you'll get to see him live. So if you go to MikeMarino.net, you can opt into his email list, and he connects with his fans and sends them information. And you could be one of them, along with the many millions of others. So we'll enjoy more of Mike Marino as soon as we come back.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, and our guest today is Mike Marino. He's a comedian, and he's known as New Jersey's Bad Boy. Although I have to say, he's actually a really good boy, and I don't know if he's like me saying that, but he's a good boy. Anyway, you know him from all kinds of things, actually. Those of you who know his DVDs know him from that. You've seen him on all kinds of shows on television, from The Tonight Show, where he was a regular sketch player. He's appeared all over. If you go to comedy clubs, you saw him for sure. The MGM Grand, Catch a Rising Star, The Comic Strip, Stand Up New York, The Improv, Rascals, Ice House. Again, I can go on and on. And on TV, I love this. Besides the Tonight Show, the Martin Short Show, Comics Unleashed, The Boomer Show, Wild Pitch, Handheld Comedy. I mean, it's great that he's just all over, and he loves this, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to make you laugh and feel good. That's Mike Marino, and if you want to learn more about him directly, of course, you could always go to our website, but you can go to his website directly at Mike Marino, that's MARINO.net, and there you can get his two DVDs. One is Live from Los Angeles, the other is Live from Asbury Park. And Mike, one is on the East Coast, one is on the West Coast. Do those shows differ greatly?
Yeah, you know what? When I did the one live from Los Angeles, I really was bagging on L.A. I was making fun of okay. California people. I was making fun of downtown. I was making fun of traffic, the situations out there. That's where I came up with the gangs for white people, because I never even heard of Bloods and Crips until I got to California. And then the one that I did live from Asbury Park, of course, is where Bruce Springsteen and John Bon Jovi became famous. That's where they were all working out. And I did the show there from a comedy point of view instead of a music point of view.
Okay, so I've seen one of them. I saw the one from Asbury Park. You know, I haven't seen the one from Los Angeles, and I better get up to speed. And now, not only that, but you've got another one you're doing in Atlantic City in June at the Borgata Casino. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this one's going to be really, really over the top. I got a grant from a production company in Los Angeles. We got a sponsor, and the Borgata Casino in Atlantic City is just state-of-the-art. It's a 2,500-seat theater. We're going to fill it up with people. We're going to set up the cameras, and then we're going to let it rip.
And
that should be in June. I'm hoping that's going to be a June date because that's when the summer starts, and that's when most of my fans come out and start gambling down on the Jersey Shore.
Well, I know those of us who are on your mailing list, and of course you always send us your friends' stuff. So, but for everybody else, they can get on your mailing list for that as well.
Yeah, they can just go to my website and log on, or they can actually write to me right on my website. I'm Mike at MikeMarino.net. A lot of people write to me. I get really, really cool fan mail. And again, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, I read everything that comes through.
Yeah, and he's not kidding. And you know what, actually, I did say, you know, he's known as the New Jersey's bad boy, and I don't want to blow his cover here, but as a friend, I have to say he's a good boy. He's always doing fundraisers, and I'm sorry, good boy sounds just so bad, so Italian. Like, you're such a good boy. You're a good boy, Mike.
I'm a gentleman.
he's a gentleman. He's always doing a fundraiser, or he does things for friends, and he's just like that. And then the way he is with the fans, I'm used to getting a lot of attention actually when I'm doing the show, but it's really fun to do a show with Mike because I have to share the attention. And it's so funny because Mike's up there telling all these stories that are like, some of them are crude. And then you have these little old ladies in some of these shows come up and say, "Oh, you're so funny."
Yep. Hey, remember we did the one show and I went up there, I did my routine. And then you went up there, you were singing. But I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but I came back up on the stage and handed either you or somebody else some flowers.
Yes.
And it was a spur of the moment improv, but boy, did it do well.
It brought down the house. Actually, it was a 1-2 punch kind of thing because I think I was singing with this girl and you came up and gave her flowers, and then I ended up singing with this other lady and you came and gave her flowers, and then I did something and you came and brought me, like, I complained, it's like, where's mine? Then you went out in the lobby and got the big plastic pot or something, and
that's,
you brought
right,
that up on
yes.
stage.
I think I don't know what the song was, but it seems like it was "You Don't Bring Me Flowers Anymore."
You don't bring me flowers. That's exactly right. And you know, the funny thing is that to the people in the audience, they don't get to see that kind of stuff very often anymore. That was the kind of stuff that Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra did, and it's impromptu, it's spontaneous, and it also comes from the heart, because you weren't trying to step on my act, you just took it up a whole other notch.
That means I'm just paying attention, and we were doing Rat Pack style stuff, and when the audience sees that two entertainers are having a good time and they enjoy each other, they have more fun as well.
Yeah, actually, I have to agree. But I have to say the funniest bit that we ever did together, actually, I should say that you ever did on me, was when I was actually going, like, it was several months ago, I think like September, October, we were doing a fundraiser, and I got up and shared and I sang a few songs, and I said, this song, I'm flying out to New York in a month, and I'm doing this song. I'm flying out to do just this song. And then I sang the second song, and I said, I'm flying out to New York in 2 months to do a competition, and I'm going to just sing this one song. And so then you got up right after I was done. You said, I'm flying to New York tomorrow to do just one joke, and this is the joke.
That's right. I was a play on your words.
Yeah.
I'm going all the way to New York to do one joke. It's
so
unheard of.
So, all right. So, you know, one of the other lines that I really like that you say is, I'm not the only one. Come on, folks. I'm not the only one. Can we talk about that line? Because I think it's powerful.
Well, you know, because sometimes when you say things that might be a little bit risque or off color and the people don't react right away, you can do a comeback by making them say, listen, I know I'm not the only one. And then they start laughing because they're like, yeah, you know what? He's right. We did it too.
Yeah.
And that's why I do that.
You get them to kind
of... I'm the only one. And then they all start laughing. No, he's right. We did that too.
You get them to kind of fess up.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And then, you know, obviously the Vinny get the bat line. Where did that come from, anything specifically? I just got to know. I never asked you that.
when I was 16 years old and I first got my driver's license and my car, my father handed me a baseball bat, and everybody in the neighborhood knew what that baseball bat was for. You kept it in the front seat of your car for protection. We used to call it a walking tall stick.
Wow.
And the thing is, if a cop pulled you over, especially in our neighborhood, he knew why you had that baseball bat in your car. But you couldn't say it was for protection because that technically that's carrying a concealed weapon. So you had to say softball or baseball. I remember one cop said to me, he goes, "What's with your baseball bat?" I said, "Softball." He says, "Why is your baseball bat cut in half with a metal rod down the center?" I said, "I'm on the remedial team."
You know, I was kind of shocked there. I didn't know whether, wow, okay, you had a baseball bat.
Getting to get the bat, you know, in an Italian neighborhood, I think everybody had a son named Vinny. It was Vinny everywhere you went. You were either Vinny or Vincent, and they were all up and down your neighborhood. And they were usually the biggest of guys. So if we wanted to protect ourselves against anybody for any silly reason, you would use your bat, or you would say, "Hey, Vinny, get the bat." And it stuck. I wasn't labeled New Jersey's bad boy till I moved to California. In New Jersey, I was Mike Marino. I got to California. Everybody said, "Wow, you wise guys from New Jersey, you really got an edge. You're a real bad boy." I'm like, "God, put it on my jacket." I was New Jersey's bad boy.
You know, that reminds me, there's another thing you do. You actually, I'm sure people don't know this actually, but you put on events where you bring some of your famous friends, and you have a lot of them. You bring them together with people that are just getting started in the business, and you network and you try and help people out. And it's just like, and I remember one time when I asked you, because it was a lot of work, and I said, "Mike, why are you doing this?" And you said, "Was it because nobody helped you, or because somebody helped you?" Now I don't remember what the answer was.
Well, in any event, whatever it was, we have to help each other, especially in show business. I mean, 99% of the business doesn't even work, and the percentage that does, they're all friends, and they're all in network, and they all work for each other up in Hollywood. So we got to open up the doors to people who want to work or could help us move forward, especially like when we work together as a musician and a comedian. It just works.
Absolutely, actually. And I like what you said earlier about the healing aspect of comedy. And I was talking about the healing aspect of music, and what a great combination. So, and as you know, I'm working on something for Long Island, so I'm hoping we'll be able to do something out there together. You know, with some of the things you got coming up, actually, before I forget, I might see you, or will I see you this Thursday? Are you going to be back in LA? Cause you're doing the opening of a business that you're part of, right?
Right. Andromeda Studios in Van Nuys has a grand opening Thursday and Friday night. You're going to have a big party from 8 to 2 o'clock in the morning. And of course, you're more than welcome to come down there, come with some friends. I am on the board of directors of this production company. We're going to be making television shows, and we got 2 movies slated for the new year. And I'm actually not going to be there because I'm on tour, but I did invite you, and you can go with your friends, and there's going to be a lot of industry people. So once again, I'm throwing people together in a mingling type way, and hopefully something fantastic will come from the company. I'm sure it will.
Well, excellent, excellent. And then can we talk, I know, because you've got some pilots that you're doing, and you had a pilot of your own called, Marinos or something?
Yeah, we did the pilot Marinos, but it didn't get picked up. But luckily enough, now another company likes what I do on stage. So they just wrote a sitcom called Hey Jersey, which I'll be playing myself. And hopefully we're going to start shooting that by March. And I got another pilot that we're going to do. Believe it or not, this guy wanted to do a cooking show, And I told him, if he wants to do a cooking show, he should call you, Filippo Voltaggio. If he wants to do a comedy show, then he could call me. So we're still working out the kinks and see how we're going to do it.
No, actually, I think you'd be good cooking. I could just see you stirring the gravy with the bat.
Yeah, right? That's funny. I never thought of that. I could use the bat that my father gave me when I was 16. It's still got the metal rod down the center.
There you go. That's the poster.
Cooking in the basement with Mike Marino. If you don't get out of here, you'll eat good.
All right. So there, you heard it here first, folks. Mike is actually going to do a cooking show, and it's going to be great. Actually, you've already technically done a couple cooking shows. You were on my cooking show on stage live at the Jimmy Kimmel stage.
Right
at San Gennaro.
Correct.
And
I was cooking down there for quite some time until I just couldn't take the heat in the kitchen.
Ba-dum-bum. Anyway, so nowadays, basically, you're just working a lot. You answer a lot of your fan mail. I mean, are you having a good time? Can we say that?
Yes, I'm really enjoying my life. I'm happy all the time. I even tell people in my act, don't be in a bad mood. It just gives you a bad stomach ache. If you want to do something fun, find places like Walmart, watch the other people shop, and let me know how funny you think that is.
You know, actually, that's actually really good advice. That's really good advice. And actually, I know that you've been through a lot of stuff. And I know, especially in this business, you, like many others, have, you know, been dumped on or whatever, or and passed when shouldn't have been, and somehow you've continued to make funny, and so it evidently has helped you, but it's helped a lot of people, and I hope you continue to do funny for a long time to come.
Me too. I want to laugh until I can't laugh no more.
Well, Mike, unless you have some funny words of wisdom that you want to share with us before we leave, we're coming close to the end of our segment.
Well, as a doctor of the soul, I would just like to tell you and all your listeners, laugh every day, because if you don't, it really wasn't worth you getting angry over whatever it was.
Mm. And you also say something about if you don't laugh, it makes gas or something?
Yeah, but I didn't know if I could do that on this show, but I will tell you that.
That's where you were going.
I know that first rate. If you don't laugh, it gives you gas, you fart, and you kill everybody in your neighborhood. Let it out.
And that's Mike Marino, folks. Mike, that's a perfect way to end. Thank you so much. If you want to learn more about Mike Marino, you can go directly to his website at MikeMarino.net. That's MARINO.net. Ciao, Mike. We'll see you real soon.
Ciao. Grazie.
Prego, ciao, ciao, ciao. We'll be right back right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back, and we have been playing with our guest, Mike Marino, and having a lot of fun. And now we're at the producer's rack, where I have the pleasure of reintroducing our producer, Mark Legere.
And I'm going to do one rap and one rap only.
That was funny, actually. And it's funny when things like that, when people can do things like that in the moment, make funny of something that was just otherwise a fact or just a story.
I think that's what's so brilliant about Mike and so many comedians is their ability to take real and make real funny, and make it real funny, actually. You know, the people that get offended are the ones that are hung up on their ownership of whatever that issue is, and or the most fearful or embarrassed of that issue, typically. You know, so it's all a matter of programming. And, you know, the way that he comes back, like he said, that kind of comeback to really bring the realness out, right? Mm. And to point out that we're all, you know, I'm not the only one. I love that.
Right,
it really makes you, you know, kind of get out of your head for just a minute and look at it from a different perspective.
You know, I have to laugh. I mean, like, Michael do so many things to just please people and please friends and fundraisers and stuff. And we were doing this fundraiser that didn't have a huge budget, obviously, and needed to have a fundraiser for sure. But it was just typical, you know, the microphone was squealing and it was falling off its stand and there was no way to get it on there. And it was just, everything was falling apart. And Mike just took it all like the pro that he is. And he says, I'd like to thank whoever he thanked for going to great lengths to produce this show. I mean, and the people who had gone to the lengths that they know, you know, they laugh too, because it's like, it is what it is.
And that's what we don't do enough of. And I'm certainly have in the past been a victim of this and trying to move away from it, which is taking things too seriously and not finding the humor in the chaos.
Hmm. Hmm. Like Dr. Mike.
Like Dr. Mike.
See, so we should go to Mike and say, okay, Mike, here's what's going on in my life. These are my problems. And he could just make jokes out of it.
Yeah, and he'll get the bat.
He'll
knock it out of you.
See the funny or I'll get the bat.
Although that's the difference between growing up in Jersey and growing up in Cleveland. We had the wiffle ball bat that we'd fill up with sand.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
For protection? You're kidding.
Yeah.
You're kidding. Oh, okay. What's a wiffle ball?
What's a wiffle ball?
Is it the bat with the holes in it?
It's the plastic hole, bat. The ball with the holes in it. The plastic bat, but the wiffle ball was a softball shaped plastic ball with holes in it.
Okay.
Like a Swiss cheese ball.
Right. Okay.
So it wouldn't go quite as far as.
And no policeman would ask
and
you.
And it would sound like it was whiffing, I suppose.
I suppose. If you hit it real hard.
Although I think somebody just, it was a typo because it was really called a waffle ball.
A waffle ball. And no policeman, if you had that in the front of your seat or your car, no policeman would stop you and ask you why you had that.
And if they did, they would probably just laugh at you and move along.
So, you know, that's actually a really fine example is when he's talking about something really serious, you know, having a bat for protection and then making this whole joke about that we can laugh. And I'm sure there are people that still have, you know, did you touch my claw? Did you touch my claw? Vinny, get the bat. I could just see it. I mean, just hear and break the window and like, see, no, I touched your car. I just touched your car.
You know, you read about that stuff in the papers daily. Right? People are so attached to their thing, you know, their shoes or their, you know, people getting killed over the strangest items, right? And that's what we need to learn and what we needed to disconnect from. And that's what he's so good at. And comedians like that, being able to take that reality of life and that kind of over zealous commitment to things and shine a light on it and make you laugh at it.
Yeah, and actually, ironically, you know, when we talked about at the beginning of the show, well, what would Filippo say? Actually, I took a page out of Mike's book without even knowing it, but I made funny. This young lady ended up dropping me off to the airport afterwards, and I made fun of the situation, you know, and to try to bring light to it, but also to say, boy, you're the crazy one, aren't you? And she laughed and she says, yeah, they call me that. They say I'm the crazy one. I guess every family's got a crazy one, you know, and it's like, you know, let's talk about this some more, shall we? You know, because let's shed some light. Let's laugh. Let's ease the tension. Maybe the next time somebody touches her car, she could remember that's a little crazy, don't you think? That's just a little crazy.
But everybody's got a little crazy in them because, you know, I know I'm scared to death to go out there and touch your luggage.
Okay. All right. All right. We're not going there. There's a luggage story that we'll have to share another time. But
not to say that you still have any baggage.
No. Ba-dum-bum. Oh, we had the communion on earlier. Little did I know. Actually, I've gone to see Mike do stand-up. And the thing that, you know, as a performer myself, winning an audience, you know, of strangers, like going to New York this time was an audience where I knew absolutely nobody. And it's interesting, actually, come to think of it, this ties in that, you know, like Mike does, he wins his audience over fairly quickly, even if people don't know him, because he's got that, he's real and he'll talk about whatever, and it's like gives people a feeling like they're, you know, they're in good hands, or this guy's cool, or this guy's real, or whatever, and obviously funny. I have to tell you this, though I won't talk about the contest and all just yet. A young lady behind the stage who was also competing said, "Do you have any family out there?" And I said, "No." She said, "Is there anybody out there that's rooting for you or cheering for you in the audience?" And I didn't know a soul in the audience. And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Who?" I said, "Everybody." And her eyes opened up real big and she said, "Oh my God, that's a..." She's also from the show. She was. "Oh my God, that's a good answer. That's a good answer." And I left it at that because I thought, wow, that's a good answer.
That's a good answer.
It is. It's a good answer. And what if we all felt like that? Like, no matter where we went, that everybody was there cheering for you.
That's the way we should approach every minute of the day, right? Most of the life, the struggles that we seem to face are from our own hesitations, our own lack of confidence, our own second guessing. And that usually stems from something that we've been through in the past, or watching somebody else, you know, fail or get embarrassed or any of that kind of stuff. And you get away from that, the type of confidence of knowing everybody's out there rooting for you.
Mm. And Mike has experienced audience after audience after audience, you know, him winning them over and them laughing and enjoying them and liking him. And obviously, I had that experience with the music too, but I never quite made that connection to actually go out and say, "I know we're all here for the same reason." You know, because I'm here and I'm singing, sure, but they want me to succeed because they want to be entertained, and I want to succeed because I want them to be entertained, and it's a win-win. So, wow.
That is a win-win. Well, it's a win-win because you're also sincere in your desire to entertain and to succeed.
True.
You know, there's so much of modern-day entertainment that's boxed and sold.
Hmm.
And that's, you know, that's, I think, what's special about you and special about Dr. Mike and so many others that we've been blessed to come to know and talk to on the show, is that there's a sincerity and the desire to entertain, the desire to impart knowledge, the desire to teach, all of those things.
Desire to help.
And absolutely, that makes all the difference in the world, no matter what kind of bat you're carrying.
I'm going to start calling him the New Jersey good boy. No, he'd probably get the bat on that. Hopefully the woofle bat. But I just said something that I think we're going to coin, and that's, it's a wow-wow situation.
A wow wow situation. That works.
We'll have to think about that.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that.
And we'll have to talk about that another time, because we are at the end of another great, exciting show. And by the way, Mike, and everybody listening, happy Chinese New Year.
Happy Chinese New Year.
Year of the Dragon, New Moon, and all that.
The Water Dragon.
The Water Dragon.
Not just any old dragon.
Okay, right.
This is 2012, you know.
2012 and the Year of the Water Dragon and the end of another great show. It's been a pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, Filippo, along with our producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeune, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks, thank you for being part of this world and part of this show and part of the Happy New Year. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.